Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we ask as we pray and as we go into your word and as we worship, God, may we come to know you more. May we come into your word to know you and not just to get knowledge and wisdom and revelation, but to really understand who you are and to have a relationship with you. Father, may you make this word come alive to us, have it speak to us, and help us have a deeper relationship with you, God. We thank you. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll read from verses 1 to 6 today. Now, concerning the things about which he wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But this I say by way of concession, not of command. Okay, so may seem like today's message might only be for married couples, but don't worry, I have something for everyone. So all you singles out there, don't worry. The first verse actually, I thought it posed a little bit of a problem because Paul writes, now concerning the things about which he wrote, he's actually moving on from issues that he's been addressing to things that the church in Corinth has been asking him. So they asked him a number of questions regarding to sex, food, worship, spiritual gifts, and all these things. So now he's kind of moved on from addressing issues that he's seen and actually addressing issues that they brought up. And this phrase, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, I don't think he's actually saying that this is his opinion, but he's actually addressing this question or this mindset that some people might have. Because as we've seen in previous chapters, there's a lot of sexual immorality happening within the church. I don't think that's the entire church that was, it was happening within every single member of the church. It was just specific people that it was happening with, that they were engaged in incest and going to temple prostitutes. But there's also a group of people within the church that we're saying, well, in light of everything that's happening here, right, let's make sure we don't even come close to sinning in this way, and let's go to this other end, the other end of the spectrum, and let's not have sex at all, right? And Paul is saying, like, no. Concerning this thing that you wrote, this kind of mindset, it is good not to touch a woman. It's good not to have sex. Now, let me talk about this for a sec. Let me talk about this idea. And we see this a lot in our society today where something happens and let's swing all the way to the other extreme so that we protect ourselves against this evil, against this sin, against this mindset. I mean, you see this in schools, right? I was meeting up with one of my friends from Canada last week, and we're talking about childcare, and she's saying, you know, I don't really know what to do with my daughter because she kind of goes crazy, and I don't know how to discipline her. And we're like, just take a ruler. You know? And she's like, you know, you can't do that in Canada right now, or like anymore. I'm like, what? What do you mean? She's like, yeah, it's considered child abuse if you spank your kids. I'm like, what? I mean, I haven't lived there for, 5 years now, and I didn't have kids back then, so I have absolutely no idea, and this is completely foreign to me, that you can't spank your kids. It's actually considered child abuse in Canada. In fact, Ashley told me that at daycare or nurseries, she was speaking more in the American context, but I believe Canada is the same because it's more liberal than the U.S., that you can't even tell kids that they're doing something wrong. So she says, like, daycares are like free-for-all, and it's chaos, because you can't say, like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, because that's telling them they're doing something wrong. And I think that's a response to all this, you know, child abuse and, you know, erring on the side of caution, but taking it to the far extreme. Like, how are you supposed to, like, okay, no, you go do that. You go figure out for yourself whether it's right or wrong. And this leads to whole other issues of like humanism and man is inherently good versus man is inherently evil. I won't get into that. But my point here is that Paul is addressing the shift to the other extreme, that it is not, it is good to not touch a woman. It is good to not engage in sex. And Paul's like saying, yes and no. You guys need to really frame it in the right perspective. Like, yes, it is good not to touch a woman in a manner that is outside the bounds that God has given us. But within the bounds of marriage, it is good, right? And that's why he goes, because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife. And because there is going to be this burning desire for many of us. And Paul says, he'll write about it later, where, you know, people have been given the gift of celibacy or like singleness, and people have been given the gift of marriage to, you know, be in this relationship. And that's what he's writing about. Is that because there is going to be this burning desire, it is good to have a man, or for a man to have a wife, and a wife to have a husband, so that they can fulfill these desires, right, within the bounds that God has created for sex to take place in. And he's saying that the husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also to the wife to her husband. This can seem very legalistic. Like, you have to do this. Because it says fulfill his duty. And I looked up the Greek, and it's just fulfill duty. And it's just like in, it's something that you have to do. It's an obligation. I'm like, well, that doesn't really bode well, too well for my case. And I turned to the New King James because I saw, let's see, let's find it. New King James, verse 3, it says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. And so I thought about that. I mean, part of a marriage covenant is that, yeah, the husband does fulfill, quote unquote, his duty, that it is an obligation. But it's not so much an obligation that, oh, I have to do it. Like, you do it because you want to do it. It's part of why we got married in the first place. If you don't do it, then there's no, like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, if I said I was a Christian, yet I don't worship God, like, am I just Christian in name only? Am I just trying to get out of hell free card? You know, like Monopoly, get out of jail free card? Like, am I just looking to get out of hell? Because it's not, Christianity isn't just about that. Same thing for marriage. Like, I don't know what people are looking for, but part of it is fulfilling that obligation because you want to. That's why we got married in the first place. That you want to please your wife. You want to please your husband. And I actually had to take a long time to think about this yesterday. I couldn't write anything because I'm like, am I doing anything to please Cora? Like, what am I doing to actually please her? Am I doing things out of obligation? I'm like thinking, like, I think many times I do things out of obligation. And I think it's because we get so caught up in just the routine of life. Right now, my parents are staying with me, and so they've taken over my helper's room. So my helper is staying in the living room, which means after dinner and after everything cleans, everyone cleans up, like, we just go into our rooms and that's it. Right, we have to be quiet, and, you know, and it's just temporary, right? But I think this current living arrangement just really impressed on me that how much the routine of life has taken over our lives, and it's become just like, oh, let me set the schedule, right? At 8 o'clock, we chill on the couch for about 5 minutes, and then we go into our rooms, and we'll, I don't know, read, maybe watch a video. I'll take a shower, get into bed by like 10, 10:30, and that's it. I'm like, and I was thinking last night, it's because I've taken, like, this is the schedule I have, that I don't really think about ways of how I can fulfill my duty, but not in an obligatory way, you know what I mean? It's because I want to. And so I got to thinking, like, well, what can I do something tomorrow? And it's perfect because I have to go to a meeting, and at that exact building where the meeting is, there's a Sif cupcake. And Cora loves Sif cupcake. So I know she's not listening. I know she's not going to listen. But I know someone might message her. SBU kids, don't message her. Try to keep it a surprise for her. But I was thinking, like, oh, thank you, God, for, you know, helping me come up with this idea or reminding me. And really speaks to this, especially the New King James Version, where we render affection to our spouses, right? Where we, I mean, it's not just about sex. I mean, Paul is talking about sex, but it's also not just the physical act, but the intimacy that is involved in that act. And, you know, it's taking that idea of intimacy, it can go in so many ways. How can we show intimacy even when we're upset at our spouse? Even when we're, you know, like, it can get so mundane at times. Not everything is going to be like, oh, like, honeymoon period, or when we first start dating and you're on the phone until 3 a.m. You got to wake up at 7 a.m. in the morning. And so that's for the married couples, right? Now this is for everybody. We know that, and follow with me here, we know that the church or the marriage relationship, the marriage covenant, is how God wants to model his relationship with us. And so we see here the husband must fulfill his duty to his wife. Right, if you kind of take this in more of the Jesus and the church context, Jesus fulfills his duty to the body, his wife, the bride and the bridegroom. And, I mean, but he doesn't, like, we know for him it wasn't an obligation. It wasn't something that he had to do. I mean, it was something that he had, like, it wasn't imposed on him that he had to do it. He knew that he wanted to do it. He imposed on himself, this is something I have to do. I made the choice. I make it an imperative. And so I think a reflection for us today is, how are we showing affection towards Jesus? Right? Let me turn to Ephesians. I'm just going to read part of chapter 1, because I think it really reflects God's affection for us. Okay. Probably verses, chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Just as he chose us, right, in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Right? And so I encourage you to really reflect on this passage, verses 3 to 8, and just think, man, this is how he shows his affection towards us. This is his duty to us, not because someone told him, you have to do this, but he told himself, I want to do this. And in light of that, you know, we're all, if we say we are believers, we've made this choice. Right? And I know at times it can be difficult. I know at times, especially when things aren't going well, God, what's going on with my job? Spiritually, I'm always dry no matter what I do. But how can we show our affection all the time? Right? Just like I think I challenge myself, or I felt challenged by God that, you know, how am I going to show affection towards Cora? How can I show affection towards him? How can I show affection towards the body of Christ? I think recently I haven't been showing enough affection towards the body of Christ. I've been fairly harsh on some people. And I have to repent and think, okay, well, what are some ways? Right? Aside from the usual things that I know how to do, let me think of some other ways. Maybe it's as simple as, you know, I don't know, praying for them, asking them how they're doing, not giving them... My natural response is to try to formulate a solution and try to tell people what this is what you should do. And lately I've been trying to hold back and just be like, good question. Let's pray about it instead of trying to give a answer. So as Pastor Nate comes up to lead us in worship, let's just reflect and... Yeah, I know I didn't really deal with verses 4 to 6, but it's okay. Let's just reflect on how we can show our affection to God, to our spouse, to the body of Christ. You know, it doesn't just have to be your spouse or to God. Like, how can you love the body of Christ? How can you show affection to Jesus? Because, I mean, you show affection to Jesus. You do things to the body of Christ, you do it to him as well. So let's pray and let Holy Spirit speak to you. And yeah, let him guide you in this time.
Dear Jesus, we love you.
My heart's adored. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the
Father, we come. We just pray, God, that we can just empty ourselves of us, Lord, and come to see that showing you affection, God, it's not an obligation, Lord, but it's a joy that we get to have. It's we get to experience intimacy with you, Lord. To really just shift our perspective, or just lift the veil off our eyes, God, to see, Lord, that even in times when things are tough, God, that it doesn't change who you are. It doesn't change our relationship, that there is still intimacy, God. And God, we just thank you, Lord, even for that passage in Ephesians where you chose us before the foundation of the world, God, that you decided, that you chose, Lord. And we just thank you. And so help us, Lord. Help us to show affection. Help us think of ways, God, where we can experience you more in this way.